white robe and a blue sash stands on a raised plinth before a cloudy sky and holds a light aloft. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. In red letters on a black background, tales of monstrous man-eating anaconda have been recounted for centuries by tribespeople of the Amazon basin, some of whom are said to worship these giant snakes. Anaconda are amongst the most ferocious and enormous creatures on Earth, growing in certain cases as long as 40 feet. Unique among snakes, they are not satisfied after eating a victim. They will regurgitate their prey in order to kill and eat again. Columbia Pictures presents a CL Cinema Line Films Corporation production, a film by Luis Leosa, Anaconda. Titles appear over images of the wide Amazon River at sunset, the thickly forested riverbank silhouetted against an orange-tinged sky, heavy with dark rain clouds. Jennifer Lopez, Ice Cube, John Voight, Eric Stoltz, Jonathan Hyde, Owen Wilson, Carrie Wura, Vincent Castellanos, Danny Trejo. Casting by Mindy Marin, CSA, animatronic effects Walt Conti, visual effects John Nelson, co-producer Beau Marks, music by Randy Edelman. Shadowy images of the riverbank as something moves through the dark water under overhanging trees with thick, twisted roots. Written by Hans Bauer and Jim Cash and Jack Epps Jr. Director, Luis Leosa. In a large riverboat, a burly poacher in a muscle vest is trying to call for help over his radio. There are exotic birds and animals in cages on the deck, and the lights in his cabin are flickering. Something travels rapidly through the dark water towards the boat. Monkeys kept on the deck throw themselves against the bars of their cages. The boat rocks and the poacher frantically taps his radio transmitter. The boat lurches again and the poacher fetches a revolver and tries to hammer some wood over the cabin door to keep it shut. There's a faded newspaper clipping stuck to the cabin wall. A floorboard is violently dislodged and a nail flies up past the poacher's face. The poacher's flung into the air as something pushes up through the floorboards. He tears the wood off the door and runs out onto the deck, slipping over near the cages. He hurries up a ladder to an upper deck, then up another ladder onto the roof, firing his pistol over his shoulder at the water. He climbs up a tall mast until he reaches the top and hangs on, looking down in terror. He clings to the mast and grits his teeth, his eyes wide with fear. Finally, he puts the revolver to his own head and pulls the trigger. Ariao Jungle Hotel, Brazil, deep in the Amazon. Terry Flores, an attractive woman in a white slip, is sitting in her room at her laptop. She hears a noise from outside and looks up. There are ripples in the dark river in front of the hotel. Terry is downloading images of native tribespeople. She makes notes. She pulls on a loose blue cardigan and opens the door to a sandy-haired guy in a beige shirt and trousers with a rucksack.
Miss Florence?
Professor Kale?
Come on in. When did you get in?
A couple days ago. I've been out talking to some guides, hoping they might know the whereabouts of our tribe.
Any luck?
Well, looks like there is sufficient evidence to suspect that these people are out there, can be found and studied. At least that's what I told the Grant people. My man seemed to think that the tribe was somewhere around here between these two tributaries. He'd found one of their markers.
Well, that's good.
Yep. I think we may have a chance.
Well, you get me there, and I'll shoot it.
I'm counting on that. That's why I hired you.
And I'm glad you did. I really appreciate it.
Well, I wanted the best director I could get. I think we'll make a good team.
You're a mess. What happened to you?
Oh, just a small attack of piranha. Barely escaped with my life.
Morning. A large two-story river barge called the Michaela 1 motors up to a misty quayside. Later, Kale's film crew start to arrive and bring their luggage aboard. Terry meets burly cinematographer Danny on the quay.
Somebody's up awfully early.
Yeah, well, today's a good day.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Not every day my homegirl from SC get to direct her own documentary. You ready?
I think so.
That's right.
They hug.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Mateo! Venga.
Oi!
See, you made this a pleasure cruise.
Come on, you know me. I don't mix business with pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what about if we go up through here?
This way? Better. If now I cannot be responsible. Entiende?
Okay, well, it's only 55 kilometers out of the way. Shouldn't be a problem. Better safe than sorry.
Morning.
Morning.
Mateo, You understand me?
Sure, I understand.
Great. I'm going to need you to drift through that channel over there. I want to get some shots.
As you say, Chefe.
For your approval?
Thanks.
So where's Westridge? I know he checked in.
He's probably just catching up on his beauty sleep.
Careful! Careful! Bordeaux! No. Fragile! Expensive wine! Christ!
Morning.
Lorden, how was your flight?
Actually, it was a bloody nightmare. Ongoing, I think.
He climbs aboard.
You. Stow this in my room, will you?
Excuse me? I'm not the bellhop, I'm the production manager.
Then surely you can manage my things into my room.
One pompous ass.
You know, in some cultures, that's a sign of friendship and respect when somebody cares enough to ask you to carry their bags.
Respect this, sound man.
It's not me who said
Mr.
that.
Mr. Westridge, Terry Flores.
Terry, this is a pleasure. Professor Kale lent me some of your short films. I thought they were very promising. God, it's hot. Are we exactly on the equator?
Welcome aboard, I guess.
I think he likes you.
Oh, you thought that too?
Damn, Kale, you look like a little low-budget-ass Jacques Cousteau there.
Joignez-moi avec mon équipe dans les aventures à Sutton.
Yeah, well, whatever the hell that means.
It's good to see you, man.
Chefe, ready for Rio Negro.
All right, everybody. Double-check your gear. Make sure it's all on board. Pray you didn't forget your bug spray.
The Michaela chugs out into open water, leaving a trail of white smoke in her wake. The vessel has a flat oblong hull with square cabin quarters in its forward section and a canopy over the aft section of open deck. Westridge does his first piece to camera on deck.
Our adventure begins 1,000 miles from the mouth of the mighty Amazon, deep in the heart of the rainforest. From here, we will travel by river barge up through shallow tributaries and unexplored backwaters in search of the elusive people of the mist, the Shirishama tribe, one of the last great mysteries of the rainforest.
The barge travels down a narrow, misty waterway, disturbing a grey monkey in a tree. Soundman Gary watches slim, attractive production manager Denise take a seat.
Is it just me, or does the jungle make you really, really horny?
Oh, no, I think it's the jungle.
I'm serious. I've got, like, one thing on my mind.
Can I work, please?
They encounter a tropical storm. The wind gets up, lightning flashes, and there's a downpour. Terry's in the pilot house with barge pilot Mateo and Danny, who's filming the storm. There's a boat by the riverbank.
Help me! I'm stranded! My body's stranded! The rocks!
Hey! Pull over to his boat!
Para, Mateo! Para!
Yeah. I'll bring you on board!
He throws his bag onto the Michaela and then leaps aboard. Gary tries to catch him and they fall onto the deck.
Thank the Lord for you! Thank the Lord!
You hurt? Are you okay?
My propeller! Tore up in the roots!
We can't take you back to Manaus! We're headed upriver! At the next village!
I know the people! They helped me fix my boat! I'm sorry if I'd be trouble for you.
There's no need to apologize. We're all at the mercy of our machines. Yours broke. Mateo! Amino!
Mateo seems to recognize the man who's come aboard, but withdraws sullenly to the pilot house. Westridge seems unimpressed as well and heads into the cabin. The crew on the barge watch the man they rescued spearing a river fish from his perch on a nearby tree.
Fish! River style!
Wow. Not bad.
We're gonna have to get that on film next time.
Back on board, he cuts up the fish with a big knife.
Ever work in a sushi bar, mister?
Sauron. Paul Sauron. Where are you from, mister?
Paraguay.
Really?
I started out studying for the priesthood. But then, I needed to see the real world. So I ended up in the jungle. I seem to fit.
Tell me, what does a failed priest do in the jungle?
Fail? Who says I failed? I didn't fail.
I'm sure you didn't.
Well, what is your calling now?
Snakes.
Snakes?
I catch them. For zoos and collectors. Whatever they want.
Poaching?
Poaching is illegal. May I ask what you're hunting?
We're not hunting or trapping anything.
We're making a documentary on the Shirishama Indians.
The people of the mist?
That's right. You've heard of them?
I've seen them.
Really? You think you could show me where that was?
The people saved my life. This I can do. I can show you exactly where I saw the Shirishama.
So slurs every other river rat after 5 whiskeys in any bar in Manaus. Come on, lovey.
5 whiskeys? That's breakfast on the river.
Sauron grins. Westridge sips wine.
Well, a salad go well with fish river style, Mr. Sauron?
A salad would be perfect. Little baby bird.
The sun goes down and the barge drifts along in the darkness with its running lights on. Gary's chilling on deck while Denise dances around. Danny's lying in a hammock. He lights a big cigar. Terry and Kale are working together. Kale shuts his laptop.
Look at that.
Tiny lights in the darkness.
Wow.
What are those, fireflies?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty, huh? Family Lampyridae. On certain nights, they all gather in the same tree and use their light flashes to announce their readiness to mate.
Well, whose flashes, the males or the females?
Both, actually. The females with a series of short, dainty, feminine little flashes, about 8 per second. The males respond with a series of long, drawn-out, manly flashes.
I like that. No pickup lines, no misunderstandings. Just instinct and nature.
They gaze at each other.
I missed you.
Terry moves forward and they kiss each other passionately. Terry curls her arm around Kale's neck as their kiss deepens. In the jungle nearby, a 40-foot anaconda, or water boa, slithers through the undergrowth on the prowl. A black jaguar is in a shadowy clearing, enjoying a tasty snack. It senses the snake. The anaconda strikes and coils tightly around the startled big cat. they roll around, but the snake manages to squeeze the life from the jaguar. Having subdued its prey, the anaconda stops thrashing its scaly green tail around. Today, Westridge is practicing his golf swing. He's rigged up a practice net, but keeps hitting balls into the water. He loses another ball. He turns down Danny's stereo.
Touch my radio.
Gary and Denise smile. Westridge tries again, but Danny slaps his hand away.
Cheerfully hire some of a kid. A local tribesman, perhaps. $50 should cover it.
I could just kill you for free right now.
Danny has a knife.
You and whose army?
Your mama's.
Terry approaches Cerrone.
So are we getting close?
Just around this bend.
Perfect.
Cerrone is fit and in his 50s, tall and muscular with graying hair tied back in a ponytail. The barge sails up a misty tributary and Cale uses binoculars to examine a wooden totem pole on the riverbank. It depicts a huge snake wrapped around a man.
Snake totem.
This totem is Shirishama. Shirishama worship giant snakes. Anacondas, as gods, protectors. There's a legend they passed down of a journey to a sacred lake. First, you must pass a waterfall protected by warrior snakes. Once you pass those guardians, you travel through the land of the Shirishama until you come to a wall so high, blots out the sun.
Follow that wall for 5 days, finally reaching its end, the head of a giant anaconda.
You know the story?
Of course. Beautiful. Beautiful legend. I believe, however, it's a legend of the Maku.
Also the Shirishama.
Not to my knowledge.
The water is high now, but the village was right here. You'll find them down this fork. I know. I trap snakes for a living.
And I'm sure you're very good at it. I locate tribes for a living, and I'm very good at that. The water level is high, which by my calculations means that the areas to this side will be flooded. Force our tribe, if they want to eat, to seek out higher ground. It's over here.
Patrão! Maquilado, which way?
We'll go this way.
Westridge! Come on, I want to get a shot of you with the totem. Gary, you're gonna roll sound.
Camera rolling.
Action!
Our first piece of luck, a Shirishama idol, although this is the subject of some dispute.
I know what I know. You can accept it or reject it. Leave me at the next village.
Cut.
With pleasure.
What the hell was that all about?
Cale shrugs. The barge sails straight on. Night has fallen and the barge is anchored up beside the riverbank. Gary and Denise part some mosquito net curtains and find Terry and Danny sitting at the dinner table together.
We're gonna go out and get some wild sand. Well, just be careful.
Guys.
Lying in a hammock, Cerrone smirks as he hears Gary and Denise leaving the barge. They head into the jungle wearing headphones. Blonde-haired Gary carries his recording equipment, and Denise has a torch.
Gary
is smoking a hand-rolled cigarette. They step into a small clearing, and Denise balances her torch on a nearby tree branch. They listen carefully.
It's unbelievable.
She takes off her headphones.
Gary.
What?
She drops her headphones on the ground. Gary slides off his. She knocks his headphones off, wraps her arms around his neck, and they start to embrace. Something in the jungle observes the young couple in the misty clearing. Denise's top is coming off.
Wait. Shh. Do you hear that? The silence.
Something charges out of the bushes and they run for it. They run into Cerrone, who has a rifle. Kale hears the shot on the barge. He gets a revolver out of his luggage, checks that it's loaded, and comes out onto the deck with it. The others join him.
What was that?
I don't know.
Something is approaching through the jungle.
Mateo, shine the light over there.
Kale readies his gun. The light illuminates Cerrone, who's dragging something. Gary and Denise follow him.
These two are fortunate to be alive.
What happened?
You guys okay?
You should have seen it. What a shot. This guy just blasted this thing, coming right at us.
Cerrone drags an animal on board.
Wild boar. Gores with its tusks. Goes for the eyes.
Niece, are you okay? Yeah.
From now on, everybody stays on board at night, right? No exceptions.
That's a smart idea. Mateo, let's cut him up. Food for a week.
Whoa.
Day. Westridge is playing opera and shooting golf balls into his net on deck as the barge sails down a wide section of the river. Gary, Denise and Danny are playing cards. Kale is shaving and birdwatching at the same time, and Cerrone is hanging around at the back of the boat. He glances at the water.
My turn?
It's my turn.
No, it
isn't. Yeah, it is.
The untied anchor line is drifting along behind the barge. It catches on something and the barge shudders to a halt.
Mateo! Goddamn rope's caught in the propeller!
Slim, long-haired Mateo comes down from the pilot house and pulls on the rope.
Man!
Well, looks like I'm gonna have to cut us loose.
It's maybe better I do it. This river can kill you in a thousand ways.
I can handle it. Besides, the only thing I'm really afraid of is a kangaroo or Q.
Can do what?
Kangaroo or Q. A tiny little catfish swims up into your urethra, finds a nice warm spot, spreads its thorny little spines, refuses to budge.
Ouch. Got to cut it out.
That's it, man. I'm getting the hell back to L.A.
Danny walks off. Kale dives into the water wearing a full diving suit and aqualung. The water's murky and there are huge clumps of vegetation. Holding an underwater torch, he swims over to the propeller, which has the rope twisted all around it. He starts to saw at the rope with a knife, then stops and glances over his shoulder. On the barge, Terry is tying her long brown curly hair into a ponytail. She sweeps her hair back and is rubbing her neck when she notices Cerrone leering at her. She ignores him and continues fiddling with her hair. Kale is still underwater working on the propeller. Suddenly he falls back, clutching his throat. He rolls over and over, losing his bearings, and tries to struggle to the surface. He bobs up a little way away from the barge and thrashes about in the water.
Hold
on,
hold
on, hold on.
Gary!
Danny dives in.
Hurry up.
Gary dives in. Cerrone helps them drag Kale on board.
Got something for his head.
Okay. He's not breathing. He's not breathing. Wait.
Not this far attack.
Here, here.
There's something in the mouth.
Oh, God. Oh, damn. What's that?
Mateo removes it.
Wasp. Deadly. Poisonous.
Well, he's still not breathing. What are we going to do?
Alcohol. I got whiskey in my flask.
They put some on Kale's throat, which Cerrone then cuts a hole in with a knife.
Quickly.
What's that for? What are
you... Ooh. Oh.
Cerrone pokes the tubular casing of a ballpoint pen into the hole, and Kale takes a breath.
Oh. Breathing.
That's it. It's
going to
be all right.
Mateo stares at Cerrone. Later, Kale is laid up in bed in one of the cabins. Terry and Denise tend to his makeshift tracheotomy by dressing the wound. Terry comes out on deck and spreads out a map of the area.
He seems okay. We should go now.
Man, that radio don't work. We have no communication.
Hey, I can't fix, okay?
I can start now.
No. Muita neblina, fog. We don't get this man to a hospital. Soon, we might as well throw him in the river.
What? Terry, we got lights.
Good. Mateo, we're just gonna double back.
Finding the current. Just 2 days. Cut back to this ferry, Terry. Save us 50 miles.
This is the route you suggested we take yesterday.
Yesterday for a different reason. Now our concern is getting Professor Kale to a hospital as fast as possible.
Danny moves closer to Terry.
I don't know what you're doing. I don't know about this dude.
What choice do I have?
It's a foggy night, and two searchlights at the front of the barge are directed at the inky black water as the Michaela cruises slowly through the gloom. Cerrone sits warily on board, gazing out at the jungle. Terry is standing at the window in Kale's room, staring through the window blinds. Kale is asleep under a mosquito net. Next morning, Mateo is at the helm of the barge as it cruises towards a man-made wall made of roots and branches, which is completely blocking their path. Danny finds Cerrone sitting on the side rail eating some fruit and calmly surveying the wall.
What the hell is this? Hey, Terry, come here.
Terry approaches Cerrone and sees the wall.
This is the river you know.
No. This is new. But no cause for panic.
I'm not panicking. I'm just looking at this wall that's blocking our way down this river that you know.
Well, let's just see what we can do.
Hey, is that real dynamite?
It's always good to be prepared.
Prepare for what?
Well, you gotta be kidding me. That thing must be there for a reason.
Yeah, to keep us out.
I'm talking about upsetting the ecological balance of this river.
Well, look, I can blow in 10 minutes. Sorry if you're feeling sensitive. We could turn around and lose 2 days. It's up to you.
He gives a leering grin. The others look at Terry, who's gazing at the floor.
Terry?
Oh, for God's sake, blow the bloody thing.
Just give me 10 minutes, people. 10 minutes. I'm going to need some help. Gary, get a little boat.
Gary hops out of an inflatable dinghy into the water beside the wall to set some dynamite. Cerrone is walking along the top of the wall, laying some fuse wire. At the end of the wall is another snake totem carved out of wood. Something splashes into the water close to Gary, who glances over his shoulder. Cerrone suddenly stiffens and looks up from his vantage point on top of the wall. Something's moving through the water towards Gary. Cerrone pulls Gary out of the water.
There's something down there.
That's right.
I really mean it.
I really mean it too.
Gary and Cerrone travel back to the barge in the dinghy. They've lit the dynamite fuses, which smoke and sizzle. They get back on board. Danny's filming the event. Gary puts his arm round Denise as the wall blows up. Watery debris showers down on the barge. A flying branch knocks away the rope securing the fuel barrels, which fall into the water.
These snakes!
Oh, God.
Babies. All of them babies.
Well, how do we get them off the boat?
Come on, babies. Come on. Thank you, Mama. Come on.
Come on. Some of these are babies.
A baby snake bites Westridge's finger.
Cerrone, help him get it off!
Get this bloody thing off my freaking hand! Get it off!
So young, and you're so lethal.
Get it off me!
Cerrone pinches the snake behind the jaw and removes it.
Let it, sweetie.
You knew there were snakes here, didn't you, Cerrone?
Was a pleasant surprise.
What about the fuel? There's only one drum left. That's enough for about 100 kilometers.
About a day's ride. Well, that will have to do. Go, go. Back to your mother.
Later, Cerrone is in the pilot house steering the barge through some trees. Danny finds Terry sitting beside Cale's bed and holding his hand.
Hey.
Hi.
How's he doing?
He's breathing normally now.
That's good. We get him home.
I just don't know what's going on, you know? Cerrone's supposed to help us get back to the hospital, right? And he acts like he owns this river. And we run into a barrier full of snakes. Where is he taking us?
An aerial view of the barge travelling down the river shows the thick green rainforest stretching away for miles on either side of the river banks. The barge is cruising along a wider section of the river close to the poacher's abandoned boat. The boat has been trashed and the poacher's revolver lies on the deck next to some empty cages. The boat is partially obscured from the barge by a thicket of young trees, but Cerrone spots it.
Mateo! Mateo! Stop the boat! Stop it!
Why are we stopping now?
Could be fuel.
You know that boat?
There's lots of boats like that.
Cerrone gets his rifle.
Hello?
Cerrone fires a shot into the air.
I get the distinct impression there's nobody at home.
Mateo, come with me.
Hold up. I'm gonna get this on film.
You don't need sound, do you?
No, I'm not gonna go.
Cerrone, Mateo, and Danny climb off the barge into the waist-high river water and wade through the trees to the poacher's boat. Cerrone emerges from behind a tree and heads up the three. Cerrone leads the way holding his rifle, and Danny brings up the rear holding his camera on his shoulder and filming their journey. Mateo looks around warily. Terry watches anxiously from the barge. Danny, who has closely cropped hair and a blue and white bandana on, stays in the water and films Saron and Mateo climbing onto the abandoned boat. Both men have torches. Saron leans in close to Mateo.
Go aft.
Danny senses something in the water behind him and turns around. He looks around, but the water seems calm, and shouldering his camera, he wades towards the boat. In the cabin, Saron tears the newspaper clipping off the wall. It features a photo of Saron, Mateo, and the poacher holding a great big snake between them. Saron quickly pockets the clipping as Danny comes in.
Think
so? Saron heads out of the cabin and Danny casts his eye over the broken radio. He finds a rifle that's been bent out of shape and picks it up. Saron is in a waterlogged cabin below deck. He props his torch up on something and uses a crowbar to open a padlocked metal trunk. He finds heavy-duty fishing tackle, a metal outrigger, and a winch. Carrying his camera, Danny climbs down the cabin steps backwards and turns around, bumping straight into Saron.
Help me with this.
Yes, sir.
Gracious.
Mateo nearly falls through a large hole in the floor of the boat. He shines his torch on it. Outside, Danny climbs into the water. Saron slides the metal trunk towards Danny.
Hey, be careful. My camera in here.
Westridge is shooting golf balls off the barge as Denise and Terry wait for the men's return. Saron is now in the water with Danny.
Mateo! That's it, let's go! Hey, I'm coming!
Mateo loses his footing and falls back into the water. Mateo surfaces and wipes his face. The 40-foot anaconda comes out of the water, knocks Mateo back and wraps itself around him, squeezing Mateo against a tree stump. The stump snaps as the snake crushes Mateo and then attacks his face. The others get back to the barge.
What's all this? And what about the fuel?
It wasn't no fuel.
Great. Where's Mateo?
I don't know. He was right behind us. Mateo!
Mateo's head lolls forward as the giant snake opens its jaws.
I'm going back.
Saron, go with him.
Maybe some other time.
Danny wades back through the waist-high water holding a torch.
Stuck in the middle of nowhere now, we've lost the driver.
Mateo!
Danny reaches the poacher's boat and stumbles over something.
Come on, man, stop playing!
There's a mist rising and Danny shines his torch through the gloom as he wades round to the back of the boat. He finds Mateo's torch lying on top of a thin leafy branch and picks it up. The sun is setting, turning the sky a light purple colour. Terry gazes anxiously across the misty river.
Danny! Danny!
Saron quietly watches Terry.
I didn't see him.
Very reassuring.
Okay.
This is it.
This is all we found?
Saron rolls out a long, fat snake skin across the barge floor.
Terry, How is this?
Anaconda skin.
Is snakes out there this big?
This skin is 3 or 4 years old. Whatever shed it has grown since then. But something like this has made a meal of our dear captain.
What?
Snakes don't eat people.
Oh, they don't?
He indicates a long scar on his face.
Anacondas are a perfect killing machine. They have heat sensors. A warm body like Mateo's. In the water. Wasn't hard to find. They strike, wrap around you, hold you tighter than your true love, and you get the privilege of hearing your bones break before the power of the embrace causes your veins to explode.
Now, Mateo's probably just lost.
Oh, wake up!
Imagine something this big captured alive. That's worth a lot of money, Gary.
Jesus.
Please, Peter. Don't make me out a monster. I didn't eat the Captain Mateo.
Come on, everybody. We are not sure that Mateo is dead. So we're just going to wait here till the morning.
Are you insane? Where do you think he went? A walk in the woods? Now listen, we've got to get the hell out of here.
Get a grip, Westry.
I've got a grip.
We're not leaving. If it was you out there, you'd want us to stay too.
Listen, if it was me out there, I'd be dead. Don't you see?
Just go into your cabin and lock the door.
Like a bad boy. All right, all right. Where are my shoes? Where are my shoes?
We're going to aim some lights at the boat.
That's a good idea. Lights are a good idea.
The sun sets over the rainforest. It's dark and raining. The barge has its running lights on and a searchlight sweeps the water between the barge and the abandoned boat. On deck, Denise sidles up to Gary and glances at Sarone sitting in a hammock behind them.
I'm not so sure he did need the captain. He sure looks satiated. Think he's still alive?
Gary shakes his head.
No, let's go to bed.
Okay.
Danger! Danger is society. Gary?
You go ahead on to bed. I'm going to catch up to you.
Gary, come on.
I'm just going to talk to him for a second, then I'll catch up to you.
Well, hurry up. I'm scared.
I'll be right there.
Gary waits until Denise has gone and then approaches Sarone, who hands him a bottle of liquor.
So, it's out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know how to catch these things, right?
That's right. Well, you can't catch an anaconda. By yourself, you need a partner. Capture alive? Maybe $1 million, Gary.
The sun rises over the river. Sarone is on the deck, filling a syringe from a bottle of tranquilizer. Through an open door, he can see Terry dozing on a chair in Kale's cabin. She wakes up to see Sarone pumping the contents of the syringe into the dart for a dart gun. She lifts her head and gazes at him with hostility.
Still no Mateo.
She slams the door. Westridge is at the helm of the Michaela, supping from a silver goblet, as he steers the barge down a narrow channel. Sunlight slants in through the trees. Danny and Denise are doing chores on deck, and Gary is looking through a small book on serpents belonging to P. Sarone, which is written on the inside of the cover. It contains drawings of giant snakes. Terry's in Kale's cabin. Sarone's on the deck with his rifle. He picks out a small monkey in a passing tree.
Keep it steady, Westridge!
Get here!
Sarone shoots the little monkey, who falls into the water.
Man! What the fuck are you doing?
Can't catch anacondas without bait.
Oh, my God!
Terry comes out as Cerrone is fishing the dead monkey out of the river.
Westridge, let's go!
No, Westridge, stop! Not on my boat.
Good boy, you speak for everybody? Gary? You speak for everybody? Huh?
Gary?
Well, I mean, the way I figure it, with Kale messed up, I mean, the movie's off. Why not salvage something? You know, let's film Cerrone capturing a big snake.
Have you lost your mind?
Have I lost my mind? No, I haven't lost my mind. If anything, I'm completely lucid right now. I think it's you guys who need to open up your eyes.
Yo, hold up. How we go from taking Kale to the hospital to catching a goddamn snake?
Do you know where you are? You're in the middle of the jungle. Okay, all you guys do is you question and you criticize. But just remember, you don't know shit about the shit we're in out here. And neither do I, okay? But I guarantee you I know who does. This guy. Paul has been here. And if we help him catch this snake, then he will help us get out of here alive. And that, amigos, is not insanity. That is common freaking sense.
Come on, Gary. This isn't you. Honey, what did he do
stop.
To you?
Okay, stop. Think about how much money this would be worth. Imagine capturing something like this on film for the first time ever. Let's be honest, what else are we supposed to do?
I know what I'm gonna do. I'm about to throw both of y'all son of a bitches in the river myself.
Cerrone shoots close to Danny.
I don't think so.
I didn't want this to happen, people. Let's go, Westridge!
Okay.
A rifle for Gary.
Occupy yourselves. Play some cards.
Danny frowns. Terry looks anxious. Night falls, and at the helm, Westridge squints hard as he tries to navigate in the dark. Gary is patrolling the deck with his new rifle in hand, suspiciously regarded by the rest of the crew, who are also watching Cerrone. Cerrone has attached his crane-like outrigger to the back of the barge. It has a winch-like metal reel and a thick line submerged in the water. He reels his line in a bit. Denise gazes beseechingly at Gary, who's leaning against a deck ladder, cradling his rifle. He returns her gaze for a moment, then looks down. Danny quietly shows Terry that he has a pocket knife. She shakes her head at him. The thick fishing line goes taut in the water.
Nobody move.
The line zigzags violently this way and that. Cerrone tries to lock the winch. He starts to reel the line in. The anaconda suddenly surfaces with the line in its mouth, weaving this way and that to get free. Cerrone's wide-eyed. Terry stiffens in horror and Denise and Danny get to their feet.
Gary! Get the lights! Westridge! Stop the boat!
Gary gets to the pilot house and turns on the searchlights.
Buenas noches, you're
get down here! Westridge!
They can get us all killed!
That's it! That's it! Open the eyes! Open the eyes! Blind it!
Oh, you
said before,
hey! That man gotta be crazy!
Just let it go!
Westridge, come here! Come down here!
Westridge obeys. Danny pulls out his knife and is heading for Cerrone when the snake's tail lashes up onto the deck, sweeping him off his feet. He falls back and the knife slides into the water. The tail knocks Cerrone down and the anaconda tears off the fishing hook, which flies through the air, just missing Westridge. The snake disappears underwater.
Where is it? Where is it?
It rears up and spits the dead monkey at a petrified Westridge. The snake eyes Denise. Cerrone makes a dash for his weapon.
Don't move! I'll get it with a tranquilizer!
Terry runs into a cabin, but the snake comes in through the window. Terry freezes, then tries to run, but Cerrone's in the doorway. He shoots a tranquilizer dart straight into the snake's open mouth. The snake beats its head against the shutter and whips its tail around on deck.
Get up here!
The snake's tail sends furniture flying and Denise is knocked into the river.
Help me!
Gary jumps in and the snake dives. Gary helps Denise to the barge. Denise is pulled aboard and Gary is just climbing out when the snake attacks his face and pulls him back. The snake coils around him and squeezes. Cerrone grabs the rifle from Terry.
It's no good to be dead!
Gary is pulled into the water. Gary surfaces and moans as he's dragged under. The spotlight beam is trained on the dark water. Denise is sobbing in Terry's arms. Cerrone goes down on one knee beside them and picks leaves off a small branch, throwing them into the river.
May the souls of the faithful depart through the mercy of God. Rest in peace. Amen. Non departed Philly Spirit of Son. Westridge!
How dare you? It was you who brought that snake. You brought the devil.
There's a devil inside everyone.
Get your hands off her.
Horrible.
Westridge!
Cerrone takes out his revolver.
Take my gear out to the pilot house.
I'm not your bloody poodle.
What are you saying?
How dare you presume to order me about?
Presume? Are you like I presume to throw you in the river? You like that, presume? Huh? Take it upstairs.
Thank you.
He holds Westridge aside.
Everyone else, don't move. Get back. You're back.
Danny steps out of Cerrone's way and he goes up the ladder to the pilot's house. Terry is still hugging Denise. She and Danny exchange a look.
Terry, let's talk.
The anaconda swims underwater with a Gary-shaped snack bulging in its tummy. The outline of Gary's face can be seen through the creature's skin. Cerrone is in the pilot's house navigating the barge along the channel in the dark. Down in the cabin, Terry is gazing into a compact mirror and applying some lipstick. Once satisfied with the result, she heads up on deck. She walks up to the rear of the pilot's house. Smoke billows up from the engine as she peers in through the window. Cerrone continues steering the boat unaware she is watching him. Terry knocks on the window. Cerrone looks round and they stare at each other through the window for a few moments. Looking suspicious, Cerrone opens the door.
want something?
Terry steps inside and looks up at him.
I just want to talk to you.
She walks past him and looks out of a window. He raises an eyebrow quizzically.
I was thinking about the myth. I don't know if you know, but this film was supposed to be my big break.
She looks away from him.
It turned out to be a big disaster.
Sarone looks thoughtful and purses his lips.
Anyway, I was just thinking.
She puts her hand on the wheel.
That maybe I could film you. Capturing the snake and then...
She lays her hand on his.
It wouldn't have all been for nothing.
Her hand has now found his chest.
I don't know, it could be dangerous.
Well, I know.
She brings her body close into his and looks up at him with doe eyes.
But at least you'd be there to protect us.
You need protection?
She nods. She buries her head on his chest.
It's been a long time since I had a woman.
Terry looks up at him seductively and they sink into a passionate clinch. But they're not alone. As they kiss, Danny approaches the door.
Ah, think I'm stupid!
Westridge is outside with a golf club.
I'm not stupid!
Westridge hits him through the window.
Asshole in one. Shall I hit him again to make sure?
No, let's throw him in a rip.
Haven't we had enough of that?
I'm ashamed to say I rather enjoyed it.
Come on, let's just tie him up. Hey...
As Danny goes over to the inert body of the unconscious Sarone on the floor, Terry stands breathless and agitated. As the boat heads upriver in the early evening light, below it in the water swims the anaconda. The next day, Sarone sits on deck, his hands and waist tied. He squints in the morning light and looks across the boat and into the jungle. Terry walks up to him holding the newspaper cutting.
This was all one big setup, huh? Mateo, you stranded, the shipwreck boat, your route to the hospital.
How could you forget about the wasp?
Smirking cockily at her, she throws him a massive punch, flinging his head sideways. He comes out of it smiling as she looms over him.
See, what you do is not so hard. I can trap a snake, too.
As smart as you are, you can survive without me.
He nods, self-assured, as Terry glares at him, trying not to show her unease. She leaves him tied up as she walks over to Denise, who sits in a trance.
Babe, we're gonna be home soon, okay?
Terry goes, giving Sarone one last warning look. Denise turns her head to Sarone, a tear glistening on her cheek. His mouth open, his eyes narrow, he peers at her before returning to his own thoughts. Terry goes into Kale's room where he lies sleeping, a bandage around his neck under a mosquito net.
I can't believe how good you're doing. Hang in there, baby.
She goes. He shifts slightly. Westridge and Danny are in the pilot house.
Is it hard to drive?
The Donald like driving a Cadillac Fleetwood. Tell you what, I'll give you a driving lesson. Right, black knobs. Up to go forward, down to go back. Red knobs. Up to go fast, down to go slow. Wheel, four turns hard over, left and right. If you get into trouble, turn off the ignition. All right? Take it for a spin. That's it. Take us back to civilization.
No crap.
Take us back to crisp sheets and hot showers.
The playoffs in a six-pack.
18 holes of golf and a quadruple gin and tonic.
L.A. traffic and my cellular phone.
Don't start.
An excited Danny is now behind the wheel. As the boat continues downriver, it passes a tree where hung on the trunk of a tree is a carved wooden figure. Sarone, who is still tied to a pole, looks up, opening his narrow eyes wide. Up ahead of him is a waterfall. He turns to Denise.
Waterfall. Beautiful sight, baby bird.
The legend was right.
What is this place?
Westridge comes out to look.
Oh dear. It's absolutely beautiful.
As Westridge inspects the waterfall, Danny runs the boat aground.
Oh!
What the hell is that?
Think we hit the bottom. We did!
Hey!
Turn the wheel hard to the left.
Westridge guides Danny.
Right, put it in reverse. Shut it down.
Denise gets up as Westridge moves to inspect the damage. Tied up, Cerrone cannot hide his glee.
Shit.
Danny looks over the side and sees they're stuck on a plateau of rock.
We've got to winch ourselves loose.
Rory, what are you doing? That means we have to get in the water.
I ain't got much choice. Figure me and you go over here, wrap a rope around that tree.
You wrap a rope around that tree, pull it tight. If not, we stuck here forever.
Gotta make it quick. In and out.
God, I hope I've done my bit.
They'll come down onto the lower deck.
That's our rope right there.
Just enough to go around the tree, right?
Yeah. We need to take this, get it around that trunk right there. Make sure it's secure.
Roger.
They begin to fix the ropes.
Hey, just last time I was in water like this, I was up all night picking leeches off my scrotum.
Westridge, Danny and Terry all climb into the water and pull on the ropes to try and shift the barge off the sticking point. Cerrone is still on the deck with his hands tied behind him to a post. Denise stalks up to Cerrone with a knife hidden behind her back. He looks calmly up at her as she produces the knife.
Aren't you gonna pray?
Never look in the eyes of those you kill. They will haunt you forever. I know.
Denise's resolve weakens and she breaks down. Cerrone suddenly leaps up and traps Denise's neck between his legs. She drops the knife as he increases the pressure, crushing her windpipe. She dies.
Baby bird.
Westridge fastens his rope off to a tree, as do Terry and Danny. Cerrone kicks Denise's body off the side of the barge. The splash it makes causes the others to look round. Seeing nothing out of the ordinary, they get on with their work.
Hurry up.
Danny heads slowly back towards the barge. On board, Cerrone uses his foot to kick the knife Denise dropped back to his hands, which are still tied to the post. He starts to cut through the rope. Danny looks over and sees a bank of reeds nearby heave as something passes through them.
Back on the boat! Now! Come on!
It's the Anaconda. Cerrone grins.
Christ!
The snake closes in. The snake surfaces as Terry scrambles on board. Westridge distracts it. The snake comes after Westridge, who swims away from it as fast as he can. He scrambles up onto the bank and looks back at the water. Westridge runs up some steep rocks as the snake comes after him.
Go get the gun!
What are we gonna do? Go get it!
Westridge slips and nearly falls. Cerrone keeps cutting through his bindings.
Hurry up!
Cerrone frees himself.
Keep going, man!
Terry has the rifle as Cerrone comes at Danny. He knocks Danny over, then grabs the rifle, which discharges into the air. Westridge scrambles behind a waterfall as Cerrone yanks the gun from Terry's grasp, knocking her to the floor. Danny whacks Cerrone with a plank, and he drops the gun. They trade blows, and Terry grabs the rifle. Cerrone punches Danny backwards and hurls a stool at Terry, knocking her over. He stabs Danny in the leg, and looms over him with the knife ready to finish him off.
Danny, move your arm!
Behind the waterfall, Westridge shrinks back in fear as the snake thrusts its head through the curtain of water. He decides to chance it and leaps through the waterfall. As he plunges towards the ground, the snake catches him in its mouth and quickly wraps him in its coils. As Danny and Cerrone fight, the snake tightens its grip on Westridge, but the tree they're hanging from gives way and it falls, smashing down onto the boat below. The snake and Westridge fall into the water. Cerrone, Danny and Terry dive in to avoid being hit by the tree. Unconscious, Kale is rocked in his bunk. Terry surfaces.
Danny! Danny! Danny!
Yeah!
Westridge!
Kale sits up on his bunk.
Shit.
Terry swims over to the barge and scrambles back on board. Danny struggles after her, but the knife wound and the fallen tree slow him down.
Come on, hurry up!
His leg's trapped. The snake leaves Westridge's body.
Come on, Danny, hurry up!
Terry reaches out. He frees himself and makes his way towards her. Just as he gets there, Denise's body surfaces between them. Now the anaconda pops up and bites Danny's shoulder. As it wraps him in its coils, Terry grabs his arm and tries to pull him free. As she struggles with it, the snake hisses at her.
Danny, hold on!
She lets go of his arm and snatches up the rifle. The snake, meanwhile, grabs Denise's body in its mouth. Terry fires three rounds into the anaconda's skull, blowing its brains out. The reptile sinks into the water and releases its grip on Danny. As Terry makes to help him out of the water, Cerrone appears and tackles her to the floor. He picks the rifle up and she grabs hold of his left leg.
Snake!
He pulls her up by the hair and kicks her aside, then cocks the rifle and aims it at Danny.
Get up. Dart.
Kale stabs Cerrone in the back with a tranquilizer dart. He grabs Kale by the throat, but begins to black out.
The tranquilizer's working! Get up!
Danny smacks Cerrone in the face and he falls backwards off the barge into the water. Terry runs over to Kale as Cerrone disappears under the surface of the water.
Damn, the dart came out his back.
Come on, almost there.
Danny and Terry help Kale, who's still very weak, below decks and carefully lay him down on his bunk.
All right. Baby? He lost consciousness again.
We'll try to get us out of here. The tree knocked us loose.
Danny heads off. Terry dips a cloth in some water and uses it to clean the wound on Kale's neck. The boat glides away from the rocks it was stuck on. Later, it cruises slowly towards a broken-down old jetty.
Hey, Terry, look.
Looking out from the pilot's house, Danny sees beyond the broken-down jetty is what looks like an old clapboard sawmill on the banks of the river. The building looks in a very poor state of repair. Terry stands on the deck outside the pilot's house.
We might have some fuel for us.
Let's check it out.
They disembark from the barge onto the rickety jetty.
Need some help?
Nah. Cool.
Danny carries the rifle in case of trouble. A few items lie strewn on the jetty, as if abandoned in a hurry, including an axe and another rifle. Terry picks the gun up and examines it.
I don't even want to know what happened here.
Me neither. I hope they got some fuel, though.
Hobbling from the knife wound Cerrone inflicted on his leg, Danny follows Terry into the sawmill. A snake's eye view as the creature crawls through tree branches overhanging the river. The snake gradually lowers itself towards the water. Terry and Danny step into the sawmill and find the place is in disarray, as if a violent struggle had taken place there.
Could be fuel.
There are some barrels at the far end of the mill. They walk slowly over towards them. Danny puts the rifle down on top of the barrels and tries to open one of them. Terry finds something on the floor beside them. It's the shed skin of a large snake.
A snake skin.
She quickly drops the skin and helps Danny investigate the contents of the barrels. As they do so, someone creeps stealthily up behind them.
Look, there's plenty of fuel in here.
Welcome!
It's Sarone. He whacks Danny in the face with the butt of a rifle, knocking him out. A snake's eye view as it approaches the sawmill through the trees. Inside the mill, Danny and Terry are sitting on the floor, tied back to back. Blood drips off a dead monkey on a table into a bucket with a pronounced lip on the floor. Sarone picks it up and carries it over to Terry and Danny. Terry looks slowly up at him.
Time to wake up.
He sloshes the contents of the bucket over them, dousing them in dark red gore.
Monkey blood.
I'm gonna tell you, Sarone, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna kill you!
Don't get me upset.
As Danny and Terry struggle, Sarone walks over to a pile of white dust on the floor.
See this? Human bones. That's how it comes out. Ashes to ashes.
He wipes the dust off his hands and makes the sign of the cross at Terry and Danny. They watch as Sarone climbs a ladder up to a gantry in the mill. Danny's eyes widen in alarm.
Oh shit! Oh shit! Look!
A snake-eye view of the couple as they scramble to their feet. They see a gigantic anaconda gliding down from the sawmill gantry towards them. The snake drops down onto the floor, its forked tongue flicking in and out as it smells the monkey blood on Danny and Terry. Sarone looks in through a window upstairs as the snake studies the couple. As Danny and Terry try to run away, the snake quickly traps them in its coils. Sarone watches from the gantry as the snake rears up and prepares to strike. Just before it does, Sarone leaps down from the gantry, pulling on a rope. A net springs up from the floor, trapping the snake, Danny and Terry. As all three of them struggle in the net, Sarone ties off his rope to a valve tap in the sawmill's pipework. He gets a crossbow loaded with a tranquilizer dart and aims it at the snake, which thrashes wildly in the net. Before he can get a shot off, the valve tap the rope's tied to gives way and the net is released. The anaconda lets go of Danny and Terry and comes for Sarone. He shoots, but misses it. As he dashes up the ladder to the gantry, the snake catches him up and bites his shoulder. The ladder falls away from the wall and the snake lets go of Sarone. He gets up and runs for it, but Danny pulls on the rope, which pulls the net up again, trapping Sarone within it. Danny and Terry struggle to their feet. Sarone jumps up and frees himself from the net, but before he can run away, the anaconda grabs him by the shoulder and wraps him in its coils. The snake increases the pressure, and his back breaks. Danny and Terry rub the ropes holding them against the sharp object as they struggle to free themselves. Cerrone starts to lose consciousness as the snake increases the pressure still more and rears up above him. The creature opens its mouth and dislocates its jaw, then begins to swallow Cerrone whole and alive. Danny and Terry free themselves in time to see Cerrone's legs disappear down the snake's gullet.
That's the feeling in the heart.
As Danny and Terry run, the snake lashes out with its tail, knocking Danny over.
It's coming for me!
Terry flees through the mill and finds a ladder leading to an upper floor. She scrambles up it as the snake comes after her. Danny gets to his feet and grabs a pickaxe. He runs after the snake and swings the axe at its tail as it vanishes upstairs. The anaconda pursues Terry along the upper floor of the mill. She races round a corner and dashes through a door, quickly shutting it behind her. She finds herself in a room full of snakes, albeit normal-sized ones. The giant anaconda pushes its head through a window, but dislocates its jaw once again and vomits up Cerrone. Now missing an eye, he flops onto his knees in front of Terry and winks at her with his remaining eye, then collapses. Terry jumps down to the ground floor. The snake comes after her.
There's a whole mess of them up there.
I have them chase me up the smokestack.
No, I've got to land.
Okay, we can trap it there. Go!
As Terry runs across the floor of the mill, the snake comes after her. She runs into the smokestack and, finding the only way out blocked by the snake, begins to scramble up a stepladder within the stack. The anaconda's tail knocks over a barrel of petrol. Danny comes up behind the snake with a pickaxe. He swings the axe, pinning the snake's tail to the floor. He spots the leaking barrel of petrol.
Hey! Can you climb up the top?
I can use the rope!
Hurry up! I think I can blow him up!
Terry scrambles up the stack and loses her footing, almost falling down to the snake below. Danny knocks over more barrels of fuel and sets an old fire hose as a fuse. Terry's just below a grill at the top of the stack.
Got the light!
He lights the fire hose. Terry finds the grill is jammed. The snake frees its tail from the pickaxe. He delays the snake by grabbing hold of its body with some large log tongs. The snake struggles to free itself.
Push it on the side, hit the hinges!
The grill opens and Terry climbs out onto the top of the stack. There's a huge drop back down to the river. The anaconda forces its head up through the grill. Terry jumps off the side of the stack, clinging to a rope, and comes to a halt, dangling only about a quarter of the way down the stack.
I can't! It's too high!
Just jump!
The fuel explodes, and a huge ball of fire races up the stack, engulfing the anaconda within it. Terry loses her hold of the rope and falls into the river below. The entire chimney stack explodes and Danny ducks to avoid the falling debris. As the stack collapses, the burning snake is released from within it, and it too falls into the river. Terry swims for the jetty as the blazing snake pursues her through the water. The roasted reptile closes in on Terry as Danny runs to help her. The snake writhes in agony as Danny pulls Terry up onto the jetty.
Get him!
They watch as the snake croaks its last and sinks beneath the murky green water.
Get the fuel so we can get the hell out of here. Alright? Come on.
Danny heads back towards the mill. Bedraggled and tired, Terry sits on the jetty. She looks down into the rippling water where the snake disappeared. Suddenly, the snake's head punches up out of the jetty's floorboards beside Terry. As it makes to attack her, Danny snatches up an axe and repeatedly swings it at the snake. Eventually, the blade goes through the anaconda's head, and it falls back into the water again.
Bitch.
Terry struggles to her feet.
out of here.
They head off. Back on board the boat, Terry walks into Kale's cabin where he still lies on his bunk. As she walks over to him, he wakes up.
Miss Flores. You're a mess.
He sits up and they hug. Later, the shadows of local tribesmen are thrown on the side of the boat. Kale sits on deck, feeling the side of his neck. He looks up and sees the tribesmen paddling towards the boat in a canoe. Terry comes on deck with a fresh dressing.
Found another one. Here, let me see that.
He nods to the tribesmen.
Sarone was right.
Danny!
Danny steps out on deck and sees the tribesmen in their canoes.
Damn. I'll get to camp.
I think so. Right, roll film.
Camera rolling.
As the sun sets, throwing its golden rays across the horizon, the barge sails on down a vast, wide stretch of river. The end. ITFC Audio Description.